From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, a ski run is coming to Grand Prairie. Really. We'll start with the latest on Ebola patient Nina Pham. Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital says this afternoon that the nurse who cared for Thomas Eric Duncan before his death is in good condition. She's still in a special isolation area. Federal authorities said today that 76 workers at Presbyterian who had contact with Duncan are being actively monitored. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention brought in two nurses from Emory University in Atlanta to focus on infection control. The economic costs of Ebola in North Texas are still being tallied. Diana Douglas does some of the math.
Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins said today that the county has already spent $1 million on Ebola through overtime for staff, contracts with cleaning companies, and the county's Emergency Operations Center.
What I've been told by both the state and the federal government is not to let money stand in the way of getting this done. It's very important that this be stopped.
It's possible to put a price tag on a hazmat team. The price of fear is much harder to quantify. At Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital in Dallas, people are canceling appointments, and the number of patients in beds is down from the hospital's average of 500 to 600 a day.
They have really, really high fixed costs, which means that they have obligations to pay salaries and otherwise spend money, whether or not the revenues come in.
Mike Davis is an economist at SMU's Cox School of Business. He says Presbyterian Hospital, with 4,000 employees and 1,000 physicians, is an important part of the economy, far beyond Walnut Hill Lane. Presbyterian used to be famous for being the most popular place in Dallas to have a baby.
The hospitals are huge money pumps. They suck in lots and lots and lots of money every day, and then they pump out lots and lots of money every day. So if that flow of cash in and cash out somehow gets interrupted, it's an issue.
The Presbyterian ER is currently sending ambulances to other hospitals as resources are being stretched to care for Nina Pham, the nurse who got Ebola from Thomas Eric Duncan. He died last week after traveling to the U.S. from Liberia. Also bearing down on the hospital's ledger is the bill for Duncan's care, which may have topped $1,000 an hour, and the threat of a lawsuit for mistakes.
It's really just part of the cost of doing business if you're a hospital, and those costs get passed on to the rest of us, ultimately.
There are some benefits to being in the national spotlight, even if it is for an infamous disease. Dr. David Lakey, commissioner of the Texas Department of State Health Services, spoke with reporters earlier today.
And truly, they have the best national and international experts here on the ground at Presbyterian.
Worldwide, the costs of Ebola are much more sobering. The World Bank estimates an economic drain of more than $32 billion by the end of 2015 if the epidemic continues to spread. For KERA News, I'm Diana Douglas.
Ebola is also presenting legal challenges. Today on Think, Chris Boyd asked a panel of attorneys about some of the legal questions surrounding Ebola. Here's Think producer Stephen Becker.
Nathan Cortez says there's a good reason why these questions are tough to answer.
We're kind of flying blind on a lot of these legal issues. You know, you often hear this is not our first rodeo. This actually is our first rodeo.
Cortez is an associate professor of law at SMU who specializes in healthcare.
What's interesting looking at federal and state law is how frequently the statutes use the words reasonable and appropriate and necessary. And my takeaway from that is that the statutes are really trying to give public health authorities a lot of discretion to do as they see fit.
That's what allows public health officials to enforce quarantines and check the temperatures of passengers at airports.
The more lethal the threat, the higher the level of power the government officials have to try to contain it.
Laura Riley O'Hara is a partner at Strasburger and Price LLP, specializing in the healthcare industry.
You balance the liberties of a few to, you know, over the good of the many, and that's just something that we're all going to have to feel our way through as this unfolds.
There are a few precedents, such as patient privacy. Cortez says the law allows for public health officials and law enforcement to know the identity of someone who could spread disease, but then the flow of information tightens.
You read these statutes, you don't see any exceptions for newsworthiness or for someone whose medical information you want because you live down the street or, you know, your child goes to school near that person.
And when it comes to malpractice, O'Hara says the question a suit would have to answer is whether the care provided is considered reasonable.
Well, when you're looking at a disease that has never been diagnosed on this continent, who's to say what the reasonable care is in that context?
And in the case of an emergency room, O'Hara says prosecutors would have to show that a doctor or nurse intentionally mistreated a patient. Stephen Becker, KERA News.
Think re-airs tonight at 9 or listen to the podcast at kera.org/think. There's a four-legged character in this Ebola drama who's captured a lot of hearts. Bentley the dog in Nina Pham's now famous selfie. Christina Martinez sets out to explore the Ebola canine connection.
How much do we really know about the Ebola virus and dogs? The experts say not much.
There hasn't been much study because, number one, it's a hard virus to study because its fatality rate is so high.
That's James Wright. He's a veterinarian in Tyler who's also spent 19 years with the Texas Department of State Health Services. He specializes in zoonotic diseases. Those travel from animal to human.
There really hasn't been a lot of perceived need for study because what we're seeing in West Africa is essentially human-to-human transmission.
Much of what we do know about Ebola and dogs comes from a 2005 study of an outbreak in Gabon. The study found that dogs could carry the virus, but not necessarily show symptoms. The study did not look into whether infected dogs were contagious or if the virus lives in their droppings. Wright says resources are so thin in West Africa that studying dogs is not a high priority.
It takes very, very high level of containment laboratory to make sure none of that virus gets out.
Last week, there was worldwide outrage when a dog named Excalibur was euthanized. He belonged to a nursing assistant in Spain who's been infected. As for one-year-old Bentley, Dallas Animal Services will oversee his care while he is monitored for Ebola over the next few weeks. And although we don't know much about how the virus affects pets, Wright says,
don't worry. That dog is not roaming the streets or going to the mall. That dog is in quarantine where nobody can get to it except its caretakers.
For now, the city says Bentley is in a temporary home with comfortable bedding and plenty of toys. For KERA News, I'm Christina Martinez.
Finally today, in a world wrestling with climate change, a curious development. Notoriously warm and notoriously flat Grand Prairie is about to build a ski run. That's right. City officials unveiled plans for a $215 million resort that will feature what's billed as the world's longest indoor ski run. A 300-room hard rock hotel will be built around a 300-foot-tall, 1,200-foot-long ski slope, not to mention a luge track and an ice climbing wall.
People have said, who's going to ski at this ski resort? I've been to Breckenridge, Red River, Santa Fe, Angel Fire. What's in the parking lots? Texas plates.
That's Ron Jensen, Grand Prairie's mayor. He says the project will bring 1,900 jobs to the city. Groundbreaking is set for next spring, but you've got some time to wax those skis. The resort, called the Epic, won't open until 2018. For the evening, mostly clear skies with a low near 51. Tomorrow should be sunny with a high near 80. And tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low about 58. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.